In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, joyous feast. I want to pause a moment and think carefully about what we just did. When I say in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, you make the sign of the cross. All right, some of you just did it again a second time, I saw it. Crossing yourself, it's a lot like yawning. I see someone yawn, and that makes me want to yawn. Same with the cross. One person does it, and suddenly the circle of people around them will do the same thing. I grew up Southern Baptist, and we didn't make the sign of the cross. Instead, we shouted stuff. We shouted, Amen. When the pastor gives glory to Jesus Christ in the sermon, someone cries out, Amen, brother. And like a yawn, 10 other people will echo that person and say, Amen. And just for the record, if you ever want to shout Amen during the sermon, I am totally okay with that. Once my dad, God bless his soul, when he was visiting St. Nicholas just a few years ago, right from the pews, it was a beautiful thing. He did the same thing. He shouted Amen. Shout Amen. You can even say it in Slavonic 3 times. Amen, Amen, Amen. But whether you are a Baptist who shouts or an Orthodox Christian who makes the sign of the cross, in both cases, it's a response. In worship, we hear Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we make the sign of the cross. We approach an icon, and we make the sign of the cross. Someone tells you that a loved one has passed away, we make the sign of the cross. Times are hard or temptations are strong, and we bless ourselves with the sign of the cross. And these are all good things. These are all good things. They are holy actions. When we make the sign of the cross, our bodies join us in prayer. But this morning, on the Sunday after the Feast of the Cross, Christ reminds us that the cross is not just a response. The cross is a responsibility. Whoever desires to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Brothers and sisters, we don't carry the cross on our fingers. We carry the cross like Jesus did. We don't carry the cross on our fingers. We carry the cross on our backs. And here my dad would shout, Amen. The cross is not a response. The cross is a responsibility. The cross is not a gesture. The cross is a commitment. Amen, amen. Slava Bogu. The church is not an air band waving its hands for fun. The church is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is a body that carries a cross. And Jesus this morning says, do what I do. Pick up your crosses and follow me. We hear these words, but often at this point, usually, our mind begins to wander a little bit. Even if we are eager to accept the invitation from Christ, we begin to lose focus. We stop looking at Christ and we begin to look at ourselves. Okay, Jesus, you have your cross and I have mine. But where is mine? And what does my cross really look like? Where exactly is this cross that I am supposed to pick up? We think about it. I know, my neighbor. My neighbor is such an unsophisticated hardhead. He irritates me beyond belief. I got it. My neighbor is my cross. I'm called to just deal with him. I have to bear with his stupidity just like Christ bears the cross of his crucifixion. But this is wrong. People are not crosses. Or we say, well, my situation at home or my situation at school or at work is really hard right now. There's so much stress. There is no one there to help me or to understand me. This must be my cross. Jesus must be telling me to soldier up and carry on. Jesus must be telling me to stop complaining and be strong and to put up with all the nonsense. But this too is wrong. Jesus is not a drill sergeant constantly barking at us to keep your complaints to yourself. That's not Christ. Or maybe we will say, well, I know it's my sickness. I know I am sick, either physically or mentally. And often I suffer quite a lot, quite horribly. The pain and the darkness, they're really bad. Maybe my sickness is my cross, and I just have to endure. Maybe Jesus is telling me to stop hoping for better days, to just accept my misery. And this too is absolutely flat out wrong. That is not the right way to think about crosses. Sickness and suffering were not created by God. God does not want us to suffer, and God certainly does not want you or I to accept our suffering and to refuse help. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me, he is not saying, well, life is hard, and just deal with it. He's not saying that. Jesus is the one who comes to us and promises abundant life. He promises rest for those who are weary, rest for those who carry a heavy burden. Christ is the resurrection and the life. Christ is the bread that removes our hunger. Christ is the living water that brings our thirst to an end. Christ reveals himself so that our souls might find rest. On this Sunday, after the Feast of the Cross, we are reminded that there are not a million crosses out there. There's not my cross and your cross, his cross and her cross. Brothers and sisters, there is only one cross. The one cross is the cross that Jesus carries. And it is the cross that he carries not just at the end of his life, it is the cross that he carries each and every day. Each and every day. The cross of Christ is the commandment to love. That is the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is the commandment to love. Jesus is the only one who perfectly obeys the commandments of Scripture. He is the only one who lives yet does not sin. He is the one who pays our debt to the law by choosing to obey the holy and just commandments of God. This morning, in the second gospel reading, Jesus tells the lawyer that all the commandments are summarized in the two great commandments, to love God with all that you have, and second, to love your neighbor as yourself. Just two. This is good news for Americans. Just two. That's all we have to remember. Jesus makes it easy. We like things quick and tidy, delivered to our door, and Jesus does that this morning. Two short commandments. This is all we have to remember. Love God with all that you have. Love your neighbor as yourself. And this twin commandment to love, this twin commandment just is the cross of Christ. He is the one who never abandons his children, never breaks fellowship with us. The wooden cross becomes the place where Jesus fulfills beyond any doubt the commandment to love God and to love those around you. And Jesus succeeds exactly where you and I and everyone else fails. He loves perfectly, even though he is abandoned and humiliated and tortured and crucified. And so, brothers and sisters, when you make the sign of the cross, don't think response. Think responsibility. Making the sign of the cross is not just a way to give glory at the name of the Trinity. The sign of the cross is a reminder that Jesus' burden is also our burden. People are not crosses. Even extremely irritating knuckleheads, they are not crosses. The commandment to love them, the commandment to love those people, that's the cross. Stress and sickness are not crosses. Stress and sickness become temptations to stop loving God and to stop loving others. Stress and sickness become temptations to throw away the cross and to say, I will not love. I choose hatred or I choose indifference. And the church, in the end, makes it all quite easy to remember these responsibilities. The next time you make the sign of the cross, begin to change the way that you think. The cross, we know, and there's a giant one in case you don't remember what it looks like exactly. The cross has two pieces. There is the vertical part, the part up and down, that beam of wood that starts in the ground and reaches to the sky. This is the part of the cross that takes heaven and it takes earth and it joins them together. The cross of Christ reaches up and it joins the Father to where we are, up and down. That part reminds us to love God with all that we have, the first commandment, to reach up and to love God with all of our whole heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. But the cross has a horizontal beam as well. It is a side-to-side part. The cross, yes, we know it reaches up to heaven, but the cross also spreads out like the arms of a hug and it embraces the whole world. The arms of Christ, nailed to the cross, are exactly that, arms that welcome and receive. And this side-to-side piece of the cross, it reminds us to do what Christ did, to love the whole world, to love our neighbor even as ourself. So when you make the sign of the cross, remember what your true cross really is. Your true and only cross is the true and only cross of Christ. It is the commandment to love God with all that you have, top to bottom, and to love your neighbor as yourself, side to side. I will love God with all that I have, and I will love my neighbor as myself. I will love God with all that I have, just as Christ did, and I will love my neighbor as myself, just as Christ did. I will stand tall in prayer, and I will join heaven to earth in worship. But I will also reach out and embrace the whole world in love, just as Jesus Christ does. I will love God with all that I have, and I will love my neighbor as myself. The cross is a responsibility. It's not just a response. And each time we make the sign of Christ's holy cross, we remember those two great commandments. Up and down, our hands go, and we say to Christ, yes, I too will love God with all that I have. And then side to side, shoulder to shoulder, go our hands. And we say to Christ that, yes, I too will love others as I love myself. I will love God with all that I have, and I will love my neighbor as myself. Love is the cross of Christ. And love is your cross, and love is my cross. And as we will shortly proclaim after communion, love, being that cross, is the cross through which divine joy this day and every day comes into the world. Joyous feast.